You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition...
Because he loves you, that's what he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You might be sitting here saying, I'm not worthy of it, I don't deserve it, and the truth is, you don't. But it's not because you deserved it that he did it. It's because he loves you. And there's nothing you could ever do that would cause him to love you more than he does right now.
Do you have a particular love language? Some people feel love from quality time, and others feel love from acts of service. The truth is that we all love to be loved. In today's message, Pastor Holland walks us through the history behind Israel, the Promised Land. As we hear from this, we will begin seeing that there is a very common theme of God's love. Let us be reminded that no matter how far we have run, and no matter how bad we've been, God has never loved us more than he does right now. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34 as he continues his message, The Promised Land.
When the Emperor Hadrian plowed under the temple, it was at that time that he changed the name of the region to Palestina. And the reason why he called it Palestina was to, one, humiliate the Jews, to remove the name of the Jews off of the land. So it's no longer known as the land of Canaan. It's now Palestina. But also to honor the people that came into the land about the same times that the Jews did, and that was the Philistines. And guess where the Philistines were from? Greece. The Philistines were from Greece. Where is Hadrian from? Greece. The Romans were, you know, Alexander the Great was Greek. And so basically they're saying, we're going to take the name of the Jews off. We're going to put our name on it. We're in charge. We're going to claim this land for Greece. And so it became Palestina. So you can see even by the name, that name had nothing to do with the Arabs. It had to do with the Greeks. It came from the Greeks. And this, we know that the Philistines came in to settle the land with Abraham around Genesis 21. Now, Deuteronomy tells us the land was occupied by the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Uptites, and the Audacites. They were all in the land together. And the Bible also adds that the Philistines came from Greece, the Rephaim, the Hivites, the Anakim, and many other nations lived in the land. But not one of the nations mentioned in the Bible of having ancient ties to the land was an Arab nation. Not one. Not one came from the descendants of that went into the land of Havilah, which was Saudi Arabia. Not one. They were all from other areas. And so the Arabs, the Muslims, have no ancient ties to the land. None whatsoever. But Israel does. The Hebrews do, because they were in the land. Now, the Muslims also claim that Jerusalem is their holy site. And that's a big thing that's coming out right now. They're all claiming, in fact, a group of religious Muslims actually came out recently and said that now the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, that belongs to the Muslims now. So the place where everyone goes to pray, they've now claimed that as a holy site for Muslims. And what they did when they declared the Temple Mount, the holy site, as a Christian, I cannot go up there and pray. A Jew cannot go up there and pray. In fact, if we're allowed to go up there, I don't know if we're going to be able to go up there when we go. The last time I went, we weren't able to go to the Temple Mount. But what they watch you. They have police that are there, and if you look like you're praying, they will come up and they will tell you to stop. If you look like you're reading a Bible, they will say, what are you reading there? There's no Bibles allowed up here. And it's not like you can get all like John Wayne on them, you know, just like, oh, I'm an American. They're like, you're dead. You're a dead American. That's what you are. You have no rights there whatsoever. And so, because you're in a foreign country. And so they're very strict about this. The only people that are allowed to pray on the Temple Mount are Muslims. That's it. That's the only people that can pray. But when you look at the history of Jerusalem, the Canaanite city of Jerusalem, which was known as Yebus, was conquered by Joshua in Joshua chapter 10, by a Hebrew. And it was fully captured later by King David in 1 Chronicles 11. And then when David conquered it, he set up his palace there, moved in there, and then began collecting all the materials to be able to build the temple. And the first temple was built by Solomon in 950 BC, as recorded by 1 Kings 6 and 2 Chronicles 3. And Jerusalem became the center of worship in Israel. And so under King David, Jerusalem was the center, the capital of Israel. And under Solomon, it became the center of worship in Israel. So from the time of King David and Solomon, Jerusalem has been the capital and the center of worship for the Jewish people. Now, so when Trump came out a few years ago and recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which was something that, by the way, was signed into law going all the way back to Jimmy Carter, but every president after that, every 6 months, signed a waiver saying they're not recognizing it. They're not recognizing it. It was already agreed on, already voted, decided upon by the United States Congress. Every 6 months, every president until Trump would delay that and just deny the Jewish people what was already promised to them. And so when Trump did it, and everybody says, you're going to cause a war. This is not true. Jerusalem has nothing to do with, you know, it's the Muslim capital. It's like, no. All the way going back to the time of David, it's been the capital of Israel. And it's very important to notice that. Now, Israel controlled Jerusalem for 1,500 years until 70 AD. In 70 AD, Rome controlled Jerusalem from 70 AD to 600 AD. The Muslims from Saudi Arabia came in and took over Jerusalem and controlled Jerusalem from 600 AD to 1100 AD, which explains why you have now Arabs in Israel, in Jerusalem, because they came in 600 AD. What you see is the Dome of the Rock, which is declared as a holy site for the Muslim nations going back all the way to the time of Abraham, wasn't built until 687 AD. 687 AD. That's 600 years after Christianity was birthed out of Jerusalem. Who was there first? The Christians were there. And before us, the Jews. So you can see there is no way at all that they can claim any right to the city of Jerusalem. From 1100 to 1250 AD, the Christians fought to regain control from the Muslims back and forth. So it was owned by the Muslims sometimes. But then in 1250 AD, the Muslim Turks controlled Jerusalem until 1917. And in 1917, the British came in and took control of Jerusalem, and they declared the right for Israel to exist as a nation and a promise for the creation of a Jewish state in a document known as the Balfour Declaration. Now, this has come into the news recently because now the Palestinians are saying the Jews didn't even care about this place until the Balfour Declaration. And that's not true. That's not true. And this eventually led to the formation of a nation of Israel in 1948 in one day. One day, Israel became a nation. And that is a miracle in and of itself. But what makes it so profound is that it wasn't just an event that happened in history, in our history books. It was something prophesied by Isaiah centuries previously. In Isaiah 66, it says, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? And who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. And so Isaiah prophesied that Israel would be born in one day, and it was. Israel applied, declared their right to be a nation. Immediately, within an hour, America said yes to that. And then as soon as America said yes, a bunch of other nations came in and agreed. And in one day, the United Nations recognized Israel as a nation. Now, that is a miracle. But what's even a greater miracle is this is a people who had been out of their land since 70 AD for over 1,000 years. They've been out of their land. And yet they retained their identity, they retained their language, they retained their cultural practices, and then they were brought back into the land and reestablished as a nation. Isn't that crazy? That is the faithfulness of God. Now you wonder, Lord, I got to pay rent next month. I don't know if you're faithful. Give me a break. He's a faithful God.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse, and we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
So in 1948, Israel becomes a nation, but not before Nazi Germany under Hitler attempted to wipe out the Jewish race in 1943 through a systematic program of genocide known as the Holocaust during World War II. And out of Europe's 8 million Jews, only 1.5 million survived. And this hatred for the Jews goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, and it comes from the hatred between Satan and the child of the woman, the seed of the woman, that would the people through whom Messiah would come. And by the way, anti-Semitism is on the rise in America right now. Just in Hollywood and in Los Angeles a couple days ago, the Palestinians used the situation in Israel with the Gaza Strip to promote their hatred of Israel. And they're going through the streets of America screaming out, death to the Jews. In America, death to the Jews. And free Palestine. Suggesting that the Jews have occupied Palestine. So you can see, if you're listening to the media and you're believing what you hear, you're going to be lied to. And I believe this is fueled and encouraged by members of Congress accusing Israel of apartheid and terrorism, not self-defense. I mean, think about this. 4,000 rockets were fired at Israel in a week's time. 4,000 rockets. Would you call that an act of terrorism? But Israel, I think, fired back less than 1,000, strategically aimed at military targets. And of those 4,000 rockets that went out, many of them landed in their own country. Many of them landed in the Gaza Strip because they're not very good aims. They shot their own people, and then they blamed the Jews for bombing them. We are in a war crime here. You can see how the media is misleading us. And on top of it, Hamas declared victory by destroying the project of coexistence. There's no way we can exist together. That's what Hamas believes. In 1964, the Palestinian Liberation Organization was formed by Yasser Arafat. And at the advice of the KGB during the Arab League summit in Cairo in 1964, the formation of a Palestinian identity was established. The KGB said, if you're going to get the land, if you're going to attack Israel, you must identify as a nation. And so they began to refer to themselves as Palestinians in 1964. That's how new it is. So that's not an ancient claim to the land. That's a modern claim to the land. So you can see throughout history, there is no such thing as a Palestinian. They're Arabs. They're Muslims. But don't take my word for it. Listen to this clip from one of the leaders of Hamas recently out of the Gaza Strip.
Alhamdulillah, أصولنا كلنا عربية ويستطيع كل فلسطيني في غزة وفي كل فلسطين أن يأتي بجذوره العربية سواء كانت من السعودية أو من اليمن أو من أي نفط ولذلك قد تربطنا قرابات ولذلك أين المودة أين الرحمة أنا شخصيا نص عائلتي مصرية كلنا ويمكن بيجي حوالي أكثر من 30 عائلة اسمها المصري في أساسنا نص 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 فلسطين نص فلسطين يا أخواننا مصري ونص سعودي إيش من هم الفلسطينيون في عندنا في أسماء كثيرة اسمها المصري وجذورهم مصرية جذورهم مصرية مصرية قد يكونوا من الإسكندرية من القاهرة من دمياط من الوجه البحري من أسوان من الصعيد نحن مصريون نحن عرب نحن مسلمون نحن منكم الله أكبر الله أكبر والله الحق الله أكبر كيف تسكتون كيف تسكتون يا مسلمون أن يموت أهل غزة وأنتم تنظرون إليهم لا تستطيعون أن تمدوهم بأمر بسيط تعطونه للغرب بثمن بخس ودرائم معدودة.
Notice he said here, we are Egyptians, we are Arabs, we are Muslims. All of us can trace our heritage back to our Arab roots. There's no Palestinian people. They are Arabs, Egyptians, Muslims. Zuhair Mousin, the executive council of the PLO, said the Palestinian people do not exist. The creation of a Palestinian state is only a means for continuing our struggle against the state of Israel for our Arab unity. That's a pretty clear admission that there are no ancient claims by the Muslims or Arabs to the land. And the thing you have to understand is that we have to look through world events, we have to look at what we see through the lens of the Bible. Through the lens of the Bible, what does the Bible say? Because the Bible will tell us what is real. The Bible will tell us what's really happening. God clearly gave the land to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 34, and it is an everlasting covenant, which means it will last forever. It will forever be their land. He promised the land to Abraham in Genesis 15. And as we go through the book of Joshua, we're going to see God's faithfulness to fulfill his promise to Israel as they take the land that God has given to them. But why is this important to us today? Why should we care about this? And really, it comes down to two fundamental truths about God. The first is this, that Israel has done nothing to deserve this. Israel has done nothing to deserve the land. Israel has done nothing to deserve God's kindness. Israel has done nothing to deserve any of it. And in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, it says, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. God's purpose for choosing Israel was simply love, because he loved them. And here's what I can walk away with us today. You have done nothing to deserve God's kindness. You've done nothing to deserve his goodness. In fact, he's not obligated to do anything for you at all. He's not obligated to hear your prayers. He's not obligated to heal your bodies. He's not obligated to the world at all. But because he loves you, that's what he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You might be sitting here saying, I'm not worthy of it, I don't deserve it, and the truth is, you don't. But it's not because you deserved it that he did it. It's because he loves you. And there's nothing you could ever do that would cause him to love you more than he does right now. He loves you. And when we look at Israel, we see a picture of the love of God. The second thing we see is that God is faithful to keep his promises. To see a land, a people, be taken out of their land and then brought back into their land. And we have the promise, as we've been looking at the feast and different things and throughout the scriptures, where we see the promise of God restoring Israel back to relationship with him. The Bible says that they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as for an only son. They will, that relationship between Israel and God will be restored once and for all. God's faithfulness to Israel. And you might feel like, you know what? I have done all kinds of things. I don't know how God could be faithful to me. But again, it's not based on your goodness or your badness. God loves you, and he will be faithful to you. And that's where I want to be. I want to be surrounded by him in this time. I don't want to be listening to all the voices that are out there. I just want to hear his voice. I want to listen to what he's saying. The one who is faithful and the one who is true. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. That, Lord, you've been faithful to care for Israel. You'll be faithful to care for us. Lord, you've been faithful to demonstrate your love to Israel, Lord. You will demonstrate your love to us. And Lord, it doesn't matter how far we go, where we travel, in trying to run away from you or trying to get out from under you, Lord. There's no place that we can go that you're not already there waiting for us, because you love us. And you want us to have that face-to-face, intimate fellowship with you. You can pray this simple prayer, mean it with all your heart. Just say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I see the uncertainty. I want to know that my future is secure. And so I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for living life my way. Forgive me for breaking your law, for doing things that offend you. I want to follow you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you enjoyed the program today. You know, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, there's going to be a day when all of us are going to stand before Jesus, and only those who have surrendered their life to him will spend eternity with him. Don't you want to be part of those that spend eternity with Jesus in heaven? You can pray this simple prayer and mean it with all your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I confess that you have raised from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. If you've prayed that prayer, then I can say with assurance that you will be saved on that day.
Are you in the valley or on the mountain? Wherever you're at, we want to be with you here on Worship Life Radio. Need a place to get started? Go to calvarysanclemente.org without delay. There you'll find a smattering of everything from teachings to podcasts to involvement opportunities. We want you to grow in your walk with Christ and be surrounded by a community that loves Jesus. If you're in the area of San Clemente, California, come join us for a Sunday morning worship time at 8:30 or 10:30. If you've got somewhere else you have to be, why not come to our Thursday evening Bible study at 6:30? Scripture tells us that the Word of God doesn't return void. That's a reassuring thought, that he'll not go back on what he says. So, know that Jesus loves you and desires daily conversations with you. If you were challenged or uplifted by today's message from Pastor Holland Davis and Worship Life Radio, please consider donating under the Give tab located at calvarysanclemente.org. We appreciate you, and don't take for granted your financial support. Worship Life Radio is a ministry out of San Clemente, California, committed to speaking the name of Christ. We're so glad that you've been part of today's edition in the book of Deuteronomy. Now may the Lord bless you and those whom you love, and especially those whom nobody loves. Thanks for spending time with us today. Make sure to tune in again here on Worship Life Radio.
Have you ever wondered what it means to be saved? What are you saved from? Is salvation only about going to heaven? Pastor Holland's message series, So Great a Salvation, will answer these questions and help you discover the rich, abundant life salvation brings. Order your personal copy of So Great a Salvation at worshipliferadio.com.